Okay, the greatest, ooh, how's that? The greatest desire of almost every teenager in this room, and I believe probably almost every teenager all throughout Wollongong, the South Coast, even New South Wales, is to fit in. The greatest desire of almost every teenager here is to fit in. And that's why we form teenage subculture groups. I don't know if you've heard of that terminology before. You've definitely heard of different subculture groups. Who's heard of emos? Yeah, well, all of us have heard of an emo. Skaters, the druggies, you know, the ones that go hang on the other side of the oval doing drugs. They don't get in trouble. The only time teachers go down there is when the teachers want to join in with them. There's the surfers. Who's a surfer here? We've got a few surfers. Yeah. There's the jocks. That's an American term for, you know, the sports people. Who would sort of put themselves in the sports people, sports person type category? A few of us would put us in the jock category. There's the computer nerds, you know, the ones that go to the library at lunchtime and hack into things on the computers. Yeah. One I discovered recently is the Warhammer Club. You know Warhammer? You know those little... We've got some here, haven't we? Part of that little subculture grouping. Another one I heard of not long ago was North Shore Princesses. If you know Sydney, at the top of Sydney, above the Harbour Bridge, is the North Shore. And there's lots of girls that are walking around and they think that they're princesses. You may not be a North Shore princess, but you may well think that you're a princess. A couple of weeks ago at a youth surge up in the Blue Mountains, I met a whole bunch of, they call themselves mountain goats. You heard that one before? They're a little bit feral, okay? They don't wash, they don't wear shoes, they've got the hair and all those types of things. But of all of the subculture groupings, of all of the groups that we form ourselves into, my favourite ones, I don't know, back in my day they were called homeboys. In your day, I don't know what you want to call them, but I think they're pretty much wannabe gangsters. You know those ones? They listen to their rap music, they think they're a gangster, like they ride on their bike slowly and do a drive-by and throw a water bomb, whatever it might be, the wannabe gangsters. You know, we hang out with others who are just like us. We look for others who are into the things that we're into. Why? So that we can fit in. That is, so that we can belong, so that we can be accepted somewhere. And so we've seen in the Simpsons video clip there that Lisa, she just wanted to fit in. She was sick of not fitting in, and so she wanted to fit in. And my guess is that here tonight, just like Lisa Simpson, you want to fit in somewhere, with someone, with something. We all just want to fit in. And Lisa, we saw, she went to great lengths to try and fit in with some other people. And you may well be, week by week, every day at school, going to great lengths to fit in and to be liked. And so the question is it wrong or is it right to be liked? Is it wrong or is it right to be liked? Because the first thing I want to say, and you can look at the outlines as I go along, that might help you to follow along. The first point on there is that it's not wrong to be liked. It's not always wrong to be liked. How are we going up there? Back. There we go. Number one, it's not wrong to be liked. You see, it's not wrong for Christians to be liked by the world. But I tell you what is wrong. If you're a Christian here tonight, it's wrong when you do ungodly things, un-Christ-like things, to try and be liked. To try and make yourself more likeable, to try and fit in, to try and be accepted. You see, if you're a teenager here tonight, if you're a Christian teenager here tonight, there is a great temptation. It's a real temptation to be liked. And you know, to say yes, as one of those in the activity before, to say yes to peer pressure. Okay, that's a great temptation. Just to go and do what your friends are doing because your friends are doing it. So that you will be accepted, so that they won't hate you, so that you will be liked, you'll just do what they are doing. And so sometimes, as again, just like with Lisa Simpson, in order to fit in, we may do things that we ordinarily wouldn't do because we're listening to peer pressure. We're listening to what our friends are saying to us to do. So that you might normally, at youth group on the weekend, you might be quite a caring person. But at school, so that you fit in with your friends, you're a bully to the kids who don't fit in with your friends. You know, and you realise that you shouldn't be a bully. You're a Christian, and you know you're not supposed to bully other people, but you do, so that you will continue to be liked by your friends. Maybe it might be for you stealing from a shop. You're a Christian, you know you shouldn't steal, yet because your friends are doing it, and hey, it's not that much, like it's only a packet of lollies or whatever it might be. We'll often do things that we wouldn't ordinarily do as Christians because the temptation to be liked is so great. That might also include underage drinking. You know you shouldn't drink alcohol, you don't even really want to drink alcohol at 14, but your other friends are, and they're doing it, and to be liked by them, you need to do it as well. Or it might even be sex before marriage. You know that you shouldn't, you know that God's way is the best way, yet your friends are all doing it, and they're all talking about it, and so because the temptation is so great to be liked, we'll do things that we know we shouldn't do as Christians. And so if you're a Christian tonight, that's a problem. Because we know from the Bible that Christians are to live differently. Different from the world. Different from people who don't know Jesus. We're not to do those things, those ungodly things, to try and be liked. And so when we do stupid stuff, when we do stupid things to try and fit in, to try and be liked, it's not how God wants you to live. If you claim to be a Christian and you're doing stupid stuff, just so you'll be liked by your friends, the word to you tonight is that God does not want you to live like that. If you're one who has your trust in Jesus, you're to live differently from the world. Now, I guess the big question tonight we're going to answer from the Bible is, what is it that's going to help you to be different? What is it that's going to help you to be different from your friends at school? Well, what is it that's going to help you to say no to peer pressure, to say no to doing ungodly things so that you will be liked? Here's the big question. You may even write this down, you may even whack it in your head. What will keep you from being tempted to be liked for the wrong reasons? That is, what's going to help you? What's going to help you to say no to ungodliness and say no to peer pressure? Now, I've got four things that I want to show you. But before we look at those four things, they're really practical things that you can remind yourself of regularly. There's two big truths I want to show you from John chapter 15, which we had read out for us. So if you've got a Bible, open it up. If you don't have a Bible, try to look onto someone else's Bible, or just listen. I'll read out some of these verses from John chapter 15. But there's two big truths. Big truth number one is that the world hates Jesus. That's the most obvious thing you see in John chapter 15. The world hates Jesus. And big truth number two is the world hates Jesus' followers. Got the two big truths? The world hates Jesus and the world hates his followers. Have a look at sentence number 18. John 15, sentence number 18. It says, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. The world will hate followers of Jesus. Why? Because it hated Jesus first. Have a look at the next sentence. Sentence 19. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. If you're a follower of Jesus, it's pretty clear that you don't belong to the world. The world will hate you. The world won't always like you. Have a look at the next sentence, sentence number 20. Remember the words I spoke to you. No servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. Jesus says, hey, I'm your master, and no servant is greater than his master. So if your master was persecuted, if your master suffered, if your master had a tough time, so will you if you're following him. You will be persecuted. You will suffer because you are a follower of Jesus. Have a look at the next sentence, sentence number 21. They will treat you this way. Why? Because of my name. For they do not know the one who sent me. Again, followers of Jesus are hated because Jesus himself was hated. And verse sentence number 22, If I had not come and spoken of them, they would not be guilty of sin. Now, however, they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father as well. It's pretty clear, isn't it? The two big truths. The world hates Jesus, and the world hates followers of Jesus. And there are times, you may have experienced this yourself, when Christians are hated for no apparent reason. Someone at school, when they found out you're a Christian, not that you did anything wrong, not that you've hurt them, not that you've bullied them, not that you've stolen anything from them, but for no particular reason, because you're a Christian, they hate you. But that happened with Jesus. Have a look at sentence number 24. If I had not done among them what no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen these miracles, and yet they've both hated me and the Father, and my Father. Sentence 25, but this is to fulfill what is written in their law. They hated me without reason. They hated Jesus for no particular reason. Which miracle did they hate him for? Why was it that they hated him? What miraculous sign did they not like him for? Was it because he helped the poor? Was it because he fed the hungry? Was it because he accepted people who were sinful? Why was it that people hated him? You see, 2,000 years ago, do you know who stepped into our world? Do you know who Jesus really is? Jesus is the Saviour of the world. And you know what the world did to him? You know what the world said to him? Let's kill him! For no particular reason, really. He never did anything wrong. He was without sin. Everything he did was right. Yet he was hated, and eventually he was killed. And it's just like that today. People hate Jesus for no particular reason. And people may well hate you because you're a Christian, and that's the only reason. Quick show of hands if you have ever watched a video on YouTube. Okay, 95% of us have. The other 5%, we'll teach you about the internet later on. YouTube, when you look at YouTube, there's lots and lots of videos. Be careful on YouTube, by the way. There's things that you don't really want to be watching on YouTube. So you need to be very careful. Make sure your parents know what you're watching. But when you see videos about Jesus, or when you see videos about Jesus' followers, maybe it's a testimony, a story of how someone became a Christian, saying some incredible things about Jesus. Do you know what you find in the comments below? Have you ever noticed? People swearing, people saying hateful things, people hating Christians, hating Jesus. Why? Well, there's no real reason why they often hate Christians, why they often hate Jesus. And I don't know if, my guess is, I'm not a prophet, but my guess is none of us here like to be hated. Yeah? Like, you don't wake up in the morning, the alarm goes off, and you go, ugh! Gee, I want to be hated today. You don't do that. It's not nice to be hated. We want to be liked. We don't want to be hated. We don't want to be dissed by our friends. We don't want to be left out of the group. And so when the world hates you, sometimes for no particular reason, the temptation is even greater to do stuff to try and fit in, to do stuff to try and be liked, to do ungodly things to try and impress people for the wrong reasons. Why? Well, we don't like being hated, and we don't want to be hated, and we just want to be liked. We'll wear the right clothes, we'll listen to the right music, we'll go and hang out in the right places. Four things I want to show you now. Some from John, some from other parts of the Bible, on what you should do when you're tempted to be liked for the wrong reasons. Yeah? The first one there, A. Don't be shocked if you're not liked. Don't be shocked if you're hated for no apparent reason. Jesus says you will be hated. In John chapter 16, he forewarns his disciples that they will be hated. He doesn't want them to be surprised. Have a look at the bit. Chapter 16, sentence number 2. It says, they will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, a time is coming when anyone who kills you will think he is offering a service to God. They will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. I have told you this so that when the time comes, you will remember that I warned you. See what Jesus is saying? But there will be people who will kill you and think they're doing a service to God.
They will kick you out of the synagogue, sort of like a church. They will kick you out of them. They will hate you. And Jesus says it, 7:4 there, so that when the time comes, you will remember that I warned you. If you hear nothing else tonight, hear the word of Jesus. Listen to Jesus. Hear him at his word. And don't be surprised when maybe you're hated. Okay. For no apparent reason. You might be hated because you've been a jerk. If you've been a jerk, stop being a jerk, and you'll probably stop being hated. But if someone just hates you or doesn't like you at school because you're a follower of Jesus, don't be surprised. Don't be shocked. There's the first one. A. B. Don't give up on Jesus. Don't give up on Jesus. Keep trusting in Jesus. Keep reflecting every single day upon the cross of Jesus. If you haven't yet worked that out, that is the central thing that Jesus came to do, was to die upon that cross, was to rise to new life. Reflect upon it daily. What you need to do is our world preaches sermons to us all the time. As you listen to your iPod, as you go to the movies, as you watch The Simpsons, as you watch the television, there's all these messages being preached to us. We need to preach a message to ourselves every day. The message is about the cross of Jesus, about what Jesus did on that cross. You know, a good place to start would be to memorize a verse like John 3:16. You don't know it, learn it. Remind yourself of it daily. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Remind yourself of Jesus and what he has done. You see, throughout John, the gospel that John wrote about Jesus, the word world comes up lots of times. And the word world is all about that which is opposed to God, those that hate God, as we've seen here in chapter 15. Yet what does it say in John 3:16? For God so loved the world. That's how incredible a God we have. That's how much of an amazing Saviour we have in Jesus. He died for us when we hated him. When we were throwing stones at him. When we were telling him to get lost. That's how much God loves us. And you need to remind yourself every single day. You need to remind yourself every single day on what Jesus has done and not to give up on him. A couple of chapters after the chapter that we've had read out for us tonight, we see Jesus hanging on a cross. In chapter 19 of John, we see Jesus die a bloody, horrific, terrible, horrendous death. Yet I don't know if you know some of his last words that he says. He said them in chapter 19. He cries out from the cross, "It is finished." You know, as Jesus dies on the cross, he has done it all. You don't need to do anything else. You just need to keep clinging to Jesus. You just need to keep trusting in him and his finished work for you. And Jesus actually says, time and time again, he said it here in this chapter for us tonight, but Jesus says that those who follow him, while you may not be crucified, some have been, if you're a Christian, you will have a tough time. Life won't be easy as a Christian. Maybe you've been taught before or heard before that, hey, become a Christian and life will be great, it'll be easy and there'll be no problems whatsoever. That's a lie. Listen to Jesus on this one. He says life won't be easy. Life will be tough. You will suffer. People will hate you. Life won't be easy. Now, there's a running race. I think it's in August every year up in Sydney. Who's heard of the City to Surf? Anyone here running it? We've had a few people. What's our best time? Shout it out. 4 hours, okay, anyone lower than 4 hours? Someone bound to have got lower than 4 hours. I think there's about 60,000 people that run in the City to Surf. What I want you to imagine is that this is the start line, okay? We're running that direction, okay? I'm at the front, okay, that's the direction we're going, and there's 59,999 people behind me. The Christian life is a little bit like this. Ready, set, go. Turning around and running the opposite direction. Can you imagine doing that? 59,000 people running towards you. It'd be easy just to go with them, wouldn't it? And get carried along with them. That's a bit of a picture of the Christian life. It's going to be hard. Why? The rest of the world's running that way. Jesus says, no, I want you to run my way. It's crazy. It's hard, but I want you to run my way. Don't give up on Jesus. He says that life will be hard as a Christian. It's not going to be easy. So don't give up on him. Keep working hard to run the opposite direction and keep trusting in him and what he has done.
If you're not trusting in Jesus, if
you don't know Jesus personally tonight, maybe you've been coming along to a youth group for a while, maybe a friend's brought you along, this is your first time you've ever hung out with Christians before, it would do you well to check out Jesus. And maybe tonight would be a good night to become a Christian, to say sorry to God, sorry that I've sinned, to say thanks to God, thank you God for Jesus, and to say please God, now help me to live for you, to live your way. If you want to pray a prayer like that, come and speak to me, speak to the friend that brought you, speak to one of the other leaders later on tonight, and that'd be a good thing to do. What are the two things we've had so far? A, what was it? Someone shout it out. What is it?
Don't be shocked.
Don't be shocked, okay, when you're not liked. B, what is it?
Don't give up on Jesus.
Don't give up on Jesus. And C, the next one is, know your citizenship. Know your citizenship. You know, when you know where, what does it mean to be a citizen? It means that is the place that you belong. Okay, you might be in Australia at the moment, but you're English. Yeah, we've got one like that. You might be in Australia at the moment, but you're from New Zealand, and that's where your citizenship actually is. That's technically where you belong. Christians, we need to know where we truly belong. And when we know where we truly belong, we won't mind it if we have a bit of a tough time sometimes. If we struggle to live the way God wants us to live. Have a look at John 15, 19 again. Sentence 19, it says, if you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. See what it's saying? We don't belong to the world. And in Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, just jot it down, you can look it up later. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. It says, but our citizenship is where? In heaven. But our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a saviour from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're a Christian, that's where you belong. With Jesus. In heaven. That's your real home. Now, quick show of hands, who loves camping? Who hates camping? Who's in the indifferent corner and just doesn't really care about camping? Yeah. I have a love-hate relationship with camping. I hate the camping bit. You know, the sleeping in a tent. You know, having dirt all through your bed. We have this stupid air mattress. It's like a double one. And it always runs out of air. And I end up on the ground. And Ro, she has the whole night up in the air because I'm pushing it to the ground. And she's up there. I had a great night. It's like, oh, I didn't. I was on the rocks on the ground the whole night. I hate that aspect of it. I hate getting sunburnt. We were camping in January, I think it was. And in the middle of the day, there weren't many trees where we were camping. Stupid. What are we doing? And we had this tarpaulin. And right in the middle of the day, it was like a square, like this big. And there's four of us huddled under there. And my legs got all burnt and blistery. I hate camping. For so many reasons. I hate putting the tent down again. I could keep going for a long time. But do you know what I love about camping? Sort of, going home. You know what I love about camping? I love that it reminds me of my real citizenship. Bear with me for a sec. Our lives here and now, as we live on planet Earth, or Mars, or Venus, wherever you're from, that's not where we really belong. It's as if we're living in a tent here and now in Wollongong, Fairy Meadow, Albion Park. It's just a tent. It's a temporary place that we're staying. If you're a Christian, you don't belong here. You don't belong with your emo friends. You don't belong with your surfer friends. You don't belong with your South Coast princess friends. Your citizenship is in heaven, is with Jesus. Know your home, your real home, and know your Saviour. The fourth and final thing, what was the first one that we had? Don't be shocked if you're not liked. Second one, don't give up on Jesus. Third one, know your citizenship.
the fourth one, rejoice in Jesus.
Rejoice in Jesus. Another way of saying that is be stoked in Jesus. Do all the cool kids still use the word stoked? You know what that one means, yeah? Be stoked in Jesus. Be mega excited in Jesus. Be super duper joyful in Jesus. I could say it a whole bunch of ways. Be excited. You see, the apostles, the early church leaders, 2,000 years ago, the ones that hung out with Jesus, there's this story in Acts chapter 5. Let me tell it to you very quickly. They keep talking to people about Jesus. And all the authorities get a little bit cranky pants and they say, stop talking about Jesus. They get let out. And then what do they do again? They keep talking about Jesus. And they keep telling people about Jesus. They keep telling them about his death and resurrection. They get dragged in before the courts again. Guys, we're cranky pants. Stop talking about Jesus. They go, sorry, we can't help it. They get let out again. They go talk about Jesus, trusting Jesus. They get dragged into the court again. They go, guys, stop talking about Jesus. What are you doing? We're going to beat you up if you don't stop talking about Jesus. We can't help it. We can't help talking about Jesus. And so anyway, on this particular occasion, you can write it down, look it up later. Acts chapter 5, verse 41 to 42. They do get beaten up. They get flogged. Cat and nine tails on the back. They get severely beaten. Yet you know what happens? Verse 41, Acts chapter 5. They walk out rejoicing that they were considered worthy to suffer disgrace for Jesus' name. And then do you know what happens in verse 42? They didn't stop going from door to door and house to house telling people about Jesus. Here are these guys who were so excited in Jesus that even when they were whipped and beaten, they were excited. In Hebrews chapter 10, again, you can look this one up later, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 32 to 34, the believers that were being written to then, they were stoked in Jesus. They were excited about Jesus, such that their homes were burgled, all their gear was knocked off, their cars were taken, their iPods were stolen, their Sony Wii stations, I don't think that's really a thing, Xbox, whatever, all their stuff was taken. Do you know what they say though? They were excited that their stuff was stolen. Why? Because they knew they had a more lasting possession. They knew they were part of something bigger. They would rejoice in Jesus in all things. A final example is this guy here. This guy, his name is Ignatius of Antioch, and he was killed. Who can guess how he was killed? He was killed by some lions in the year 110 AD, and he was sentenced to die in the arena. You know, the lions come and eat him. And the Roman government, they thought, we're going to make an example of this guy, Ignatius. Let's feed him to the lions. Because you know what Ignatius was like? He's there going, awesome. And so he's traveling the whole way to Rome. It took him a few days. And on his way, he's talking to people about Jesus, saying, this is exciting. He was looking forward to even dying for Jesus. He rejoiced in Jesus in the good times and in the bad times. We are to be those who rejoice in Jesus. We are to be those who rejoice even when we suffer. Romans 5 says that suffering leads to perseverance. Perseverance leads to character. Character leads to hope. You know, when we are hated, if you are hated currently by people at school because you're a Christian, not because you're a jerk, but because you're a Christian, it ought to make us hope all the more and rejoice all the more because of what we have in Jesus. It might sound crazy that we're to rejoice when we suffer. It sounds a bit odd. You idiot? Why are you rejoicing that you're suffering? Well, no, for the Christian, when we suffer, we know of the real hope that we have in Jesus. It says the fourth and final thing is to rejoice in Jesus. Now, I want to do a quick advertisement for a website. There's lots of good websites on the internet. But there's also some bad ones. I want to tell you about one. It's called the Revolution.com. This is a fantastic website that will really help you as you think about the stuff we've talked about tonight. It will really help you in your struggle to not do things to try and be liked for the wrong reasons. It's a site that's all about, here's the official definition, the revolution is a teenage rebellion against the low expectations of an ungodly culture. What's it saying?
It's a website, it's a movement of teenagers across the world who want to actually be different from the world, not do stupid stuff like their friends are doing, and so to be liked, but to keep living God's way, to keep living how God wants them to live. Well, as we finish, I've got a friend that I've brought along for you tonight.
Who's heard of this guy?
Anyone heard of this guy?
His picture's up there, he's on there. This is Napoleon Dynamite, check this out.
Pedro, just listen to your heart. That's what I do.
How good does that sound? It sounds like he's behind me, doesn't it?
Ross! You guys are retarded.
Oh, hang on.
Yes!
Yeah. How are you feeling today, Napoleon?
I feel like I want to get God.
Fair enough. Okay, this is Napoleon Dynamite. Who's seen Napoleon Dynamite? Okay, about 4/5 of us have seen Napoleon Dynamite. It's a movie about this guy, Napoleon Dynamite. It's fantastic. Check it out. I want to tell you about Napoleon for a moment, because Napoleon Dynamite, he's a guy that, he's not afraid to be different. You know? He didn't do things to try and be liked. He just did his own thing. He didn't care whether he was liked or not. He didn't try to be liked. He was willing to be different. And so at the end of the movie, whether you've seen it or not, there's this scene where he helps out his friend Pedro. You remember he's doing the whole dance thing? And like everyone's eyes are on Napoleon Dynamite dancing to Jamiroquai, etc., etc. He's there dancing. All these eyes are focused on him. It was crazy. Sometimes, you know, when we live differently as Christians, it's as if everyone's eyes are on us, looking at us, thinking, you're a little bit weird. Well, why are you living like that? You're a little bit like Napoleon Dynamite. All eyes are on us. You know, your friends, they might think that it's weird as they look at you that you don't get drunk. They might think that that's weird. They might think it's weird that you're not sleeping with your boyfriend or your girlfriend. They might think it's weird that you go to youth group on the weekend. They might think it's weird that you're here tonight. They might think it's weird that you read the Bible and pray. You know what? You may feel like all eyes are on you and they all think you're crazy, but remember where you belong. And so the question from the start, what will keep you from being tempted to be liked for all the wrong reasons? It's knowing where you really belong. It's knowing where you really belong. It's not with people here. It's with Jesus there. I want to encourage you tonight. I'm going to pray in just a moment. But as I meet teenagers around New South Wales, Christian teenagers, there are lots of them, and I'm sure there are lots of you here tonight, who are already putting these things into practice. You're already saying no to doing stupid stuff just to be liked. And you're actually trusting Jesus. You're actually trying to be different. You're actually running in the opposite direction from everyone else. If that's you tonight, keep going. Keep saying no to peer pressure. Keep saying no to the temptations to be liked for the wrong reasons. It'll be difficult, but don't be surprised when you're not liked. Don't give up on Jesus. Know your citizenship and be stoked in Jesus. Can I pray for you? Our gracious God and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus, and we pray that you help us to look to him when we are tempted to be liked for the wrong reasons. Help us to trust in him. Help us to listen to him and not be surprised when people don't like us because we're Christian. Please help us to know where we really belong, and please help us to rejoice in Jesus in the good times and in the bad. I pray for all of these guys here tonight that you would help those who are Christian to keep saying no to peer pressure, and that you would help those here who aren't Christian to put their trust in Jesus and become Christian. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.